Hey everybody, I'm Geek Soul Brother, and this is my podcast, Your Fandom Fix. It's my podcast where I talk about movies and TV shows. I talk about a little bit of nerdy news, give a little commentary here and there. And I just love talking about fandoms that we all enjoy. I love sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. I know that you guys out there mostly love the same thing. We all have different fandoms that we really appreciate. But my things are movies and TV shows. You know, sci-fi, fantasy, horror is my three genres. I really love all genres except for maybe a little bit of gangster films, but I love all the genres and stuff. So I also care about social issues that affect the community and the culture. So you'll hear me every now and then talk about things within the Black culture, within the Black community. I'm a mature Black nerd, and that's where I get the name Geek Soul Brothers from. So, you know, I try to talk about things from my perspective and stuff. But I enjoy a lot of new stuff, and I like to put people on to new things here and there. Today, this podcast should be premiering Monday, February 7th. So I hope you guys can enjoy that. It's Black History Month, and we're going to talk about a few things that combine Black history and nerdom, so we'll talk about that. You can find me on Spotify. Just look up Geek Soul Brother, Your Fandom Fix. Look up either one of those, do a search. Or you can also find me on Indie Live Music Radio. It's a digital radio station. It's on TuneIn.com. And my show usually airs Mondays at 6 p.m. Sometimes it may air on a different day, but usually it's Mondays at 6 p.m. It's promoted and it's one of the media outlets of UrbanSocialitesNJ.com, the Urban Socialites. They do a lot of positive things. They talk about a lot of positive things, health and spirituality and stuff like that. And they also host their indie live music radio station. So tune in for that if you want to hear the show then. If not, just go to Spotify and look up this episode. And also you can look up my previous episodes. This is episode 10, so you can look up the other 1 to 9. And enjoy that. Enjoy that if you want. Just take in as much Geek Soul Brother as you want. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All those social medias and stuff. And give me a shout out. If you're on social media, just give me a shout out and stuff. Today's, besides talking about geek stuff and talking about, geek and nerdy stuff, I'd like to give a positive message if I can. If I think about something, if something pops in my mind, I'd like to put a little positive message out there. And I don't know. I've been on this, I guess, physical health, mental health, and stuff like that focus. So I just want to tell you guys to listen intuitively, listen to what your body tells you. So if you do something, or if you eat something, or if you do an activity, listen to what your body tells you so that you can see the effect of what you're doing, or what you're eating, what you put into your body, what you do with your body as far as exercise, as far as movement, as far as, just activity in general. Just take a moment out and intuitively listen to your body. Listen to, like, if you eat a certain thing, you know, see how it feels to you. More than just looking if you're gaining weight or losing weight, or if you're, if you're feeling sluggish or anything like that. Just kind of sit back and focus on what's happening on the inside, what's happening when you eat certain things and you do certain things, do certain exercises and stuff. Really, what's happening on the inside? Be sensitive to what your body is telling you so that you can decide which way to go with your health and which way to go on your journey to be healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally, anything. And just be intuitive to that. Just be tuned into your body and kind of sense things. Don't just keep moving, keep going, and not listen to what your body's telling you. That's my positive message. Just a little quick message, just to let you all know, certain ways. Just being healthy. Just being just being well and healthy. I hope you guys are good anyway. Spider-Man No Way Home, they're talking about, it's not going to be on Disney Plus. It's actually going to be on, maybe it's going to be on Starz, because Sony has a contract with Starz and so forth. That's surprising, but I guess it's going to take a minute before all the Marvel stuff is going to be on Disney Plus. Either way, a lot of people are going to watch it. You know that, because I mean, it's one of the biggest movie hits. It's biggest that Sony's had in a while, and it's one of the biggest that's been in the box office and stuff. Something that wasn't a big hit was Moonfall with Halle Berry. Halle Berry and the brother from The Conjuring, Wilson, that didn't do so well. It only $10 million in the box office this weekend. Not good. Roland Emmerich, I think he did 2012. He did Day After Tomorrow, I believe. I have to double check, but he does these disaster films, and Moonfall looked great at first. Like, I was really excited about it. Yeah, the moon, like, crashing, but brushing against the Earth, which would be devastating. It's a horrifying idea. It's a horrifying thought that the moon would be that close to Earth. But I have a friend tell me, I didn't see it yet. I want to see it maybe this week. I have a friend tell me the special effects were great, but the... It just didn't do it. It might have been good, I don't know, but you know, with that box office doesn't always tell you if a movie's good or not. Sometimes the box office will give the wrong idea as to if a movie's good or not. Because there's been a lot of good movies with small box office returns. And I don't know, a lot of people I don't think knew about Moonfall, so they weren't ready for it. But sadly, $10 million in the film cost $140 million to make. That's ridiculous. I hope Halle Berry and Wilson got their cut. I just hope that they got their cut. But from $140 million to $10 million, that's not good. Emmerich, I'm reading now. He did Independence Day, the Day After Tomorrow and stuff. So he's used to doing these big budget films, but I don't know. His films, actually, Day After Tomorrow was really good. I really like that film. Independence Day was great with Will Smith and stuff like that, but it was definitely a cheer on America film, which is fine, you know, but sometimes that takes away from the true story of it all. I don't know what's happening with, I'm kind of excited to see Moonfall as far as like, I don't know, just a film to enjoy, just a film craziness to enjoy, because I love some sci-fi craziness too, so we'll see. But Jackass beat it out easily. They did $23 million. They did a little bit over $23 million, and really didn't have a big budget for that. They actually, it was a reverse. It looked like they only had a $10 million budget, and they did $23 million weekend box office. So Knoxville and his crew, they did their thing. Jackass isn't really, I've never seen the movie. I've seen the series, but I never went to see the movies and stuff. So I don't know if I want to see it or not. I might go see it just to use up my tickets that I'll be getting. We'll see. But yeah, Moonfall didn't do it. Oh well, sci-fi. sadly, we're not going to see Moonfall 2. That's what we're not going to see. But on a sadder note, this week there was a boy in Morocco, Ryan, who was stuck in a well for days and unfortunately passed away. My condolences to the family. I just wanted to add that my condolences to the family and anybody that loses a young child is sad. So yeah, my condolences to the family and whatnot. That was sad news in the day, in this week. So let me move on. The focus for this episode, since it's the beginning of Black History Month, February is Black History Month, and a lot of you guys don't know. I don't think a lot of people know, because a lot of black people question, why is Black History Month? Why has it got to be a shortest month? February wasn't decided to be Black History Month. It was a historian, Carji Woodson, a black historian, that with the help of his association for a study of Negro life and history, he started Black History Week, and it was the second week in February. I think it was the week between George Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, something like that. And he started Black History Week, where he wanted black people to study history. He wanted the nation to, you know, to learn about black history and stuff. And the week turned into a month. Because it was in February, the week turned into a month. So it's really not a week that anybody gave us. They didn't get, like, the government didn't assign February as Black History Month. It was a black historian that started it out in the week. And then I believe in the 70s, they expanded it to the entire month. So there you go, Black History Month, started in 1926 by Carji Woodson, became Black History Week became Black History Month, and there we have it. Black History and nerdism, there's a lot of things that go on between Black History and Black nerds and what. The number one thing that I love about Black History Month, the number one thing I love is 28 days of black cosplay. I really like that. All the cosplayers come out and they start posting pics for each day of the month. This day 7th, of course. The podcast is airing day 7, so you will have seen, if you follow the hashtag 28 days of black history on any social media, you should be able to see a lot of black people. And it's odd that there's a large percentage, not odd, but I think somebody could go into the sociology of it, the psychology of it, but there's a lot of black women that do cosplay, and some black men. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I could guess a few things, but I'm not sure what it is. But there's a lot of women of different backgrounds that love cosplay, and they love to do cosplay and whatnot. And the costumes are fantastic. Everything's fantastic. And here, there's a lot of, again, there's always some gatekeeping going on in the community of nerds and whatnot. Black people can cosplay anything they want. They can cosplay Superman, or they can cosplay, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, anything. They can cosplay black characters, white characters, Asian characters, whatever. And there's a lot of people that argue, and there's a bunch of racist people that say black people shouldn't cosplay anything, but, I wouldn't have a problem if a white guy cosplayed as Black Panther. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'd have a problem if they hired a white actor to play Black Panther, because that's not that in itself. You're representing the character itself in another medium. So I wouldn't be cool with that. Because it's not that you can't change race in a character. But if race is crucial to the character, don't be playing with it like that. Don't be making light of it like that. Like, you could have a white guy, you know, switch to a minor character. You could have a black guy, you know, switch to a white minor character or whatever. But, you know, if the race is crucial to the character, if it's meaningful or core, if it's a core element to the character, then, you know, you can't have a white Luke Cage, because Luke Cage is in old Harlem, you know, and he's talking about, you know, black, he's talking about black issues and stuff like that. So you can't have, just like you can't have I don't think you can have a black Iron Fist per se, because the character, also he was from a particular background. I don't think race had to do with his character, so maybe technically you could, you know, kind of have a black character play Iron Fist and stuff. But I wouldn't necessarily want to see it. I like Danny Rand in the comics as Iron Fist. He plays a different type of, Iron Fist and whatnot. But Luke Cage particularly has black culture about him. So, you know, you could see him, you can't see him being played by other than a black man. But you can see, you can see different characters. You can see a couple of characters that might have started out black and, you know, in the movies, they might have been changed. I think Harvey Dent in the original Batmans, like the, I'm trying to think. In the original Tim Burton Batmans, I think Harvey Dent might have started out black, but then he became white later in the Batman 2 or something like that. One of the Batmans later, I think he might have started out white. But, you know, that's something that can flip. You can have black guy, white guy play Harvey Dent. I don't think it matters and stuff. And you may have some black characters be able to switch to like white or some other race. But here's also the thing: there's so few black characters, and I'm gonna go over a list of my favorite, some of my favorite Marvel and DC and other black superheroes and stuff. But you don't have a lot, you know. So when black characters are created, they have a crucial part in the, you know, superhero genre, in the fandom genre. They have a part where you really don't want them to be erased. You really don't want black characters to be erased because it's so hard to get black characters into comics in the first place. You know, it was so hard to get black characters that weren't stereotypes even, because at first a lot of black characters were stereotyped. Obviously, Luke Cage, Black Panther, they're kind of stereotyped and stuff like that. Nubia, I don't know if Nubia was stereotyped, but she Wonder Woman was already soft, hard, and then Nubia was even more of a warrior and stuff, so, you know, but I wouldn't necessarily call that a stereotype. It's just a, you know, character, you know, they're trying to diversify the strength in Themyscira and stuff like that, but yeah, a lot of black characters that were stereotypes and whatnot, and then they became more respectable as time went by. They became more respectable and stuff like that. But you don't want to erase black characters or Asian characters. You don't want to erase female characters. You don't want to erase a lot of, because there's a plethora of white male characters, and you know the genre was built by a lot of white males, so of course there'd be a lot of white male characters and stuff. If you have characters that switch race or something like that, it's not as strong an impact as if you had a lot of black characters and they were kind of erased or switch race or something like that. So some of the characters are important. Some of the characters are important to see. But I'm also on the side where I don't want to see a lot of white characters turn black or anything like that, or turn men into women or women into men or whatever. I don't want to see a lot of it's interesting to see, but I don't want that to be a thing. I'd rather see a lot of new diverse characters develop. That's what I would love to see. It's a lot of new diverse characters, interesting characters, non-stereotypical characters developed into original, from original ideas into characters in the medium, you know, and not necessarily have, some of it's cool, some of it is cool, some of it's like, why'd you do that? You're just trying to cater to, you know, the audience and trying to get black people to look more. And we already are. The nerds that are black out there already are paying attention to the different fandoms. So you don't have to pander to the black audience by making, you know, a character black. Sometimes it's interesting, but you don't have to pander to it. It's just, sometimes I think if you hire, you know, if it doesn't matter about race and stuff, if you just hire some of the best actors, you're going to get, you know, a black actor, an Asian actor or something, a woman, play the character so well, you know, that they're going to play it. They're just going to play it well. So, yeah, 28 days. I'm sorry for the rant. 28 days of black cosplay. Follow the hashtag. Really check out some interesting cosplayers. One cosplayer, Afro Coco Puffs. Shout out to Afro Coco Puffs. She actually rapped about how you're not going to tell a black person that they can't cosplay, you know, Sailor Moon or something to that effect, or stick to their own race or something like that. Stop being racist. Everybody can do anything. You know, I saw a hairy, now this was, I saw a hairy motorcycle riding, bearded, hair on his chest, white guy dress up as Batwoman, as Batgirl, Batwoman and whatnot. It was hilarious. And it you know, everybody was laughing and stuff like that, but he killed it. It was the oddity of it. He killed it. So, you know, just let everybody in fandom, just let everybody enjoy it. That's where it comes down to. Just let people enjoy it. Let black people enjoy it and stuff like that. Also, I want to talk a little bit, just drop a little history thing about it. I want to talk about Urkel. Everybody always considers a black nerd. Everybody always considers a black nerd, like the epitome of black nerdism is Urkel. And maybe that's true on TV. Like the very epitome of a black nerd is Urkel, but a lot of people forget, like, Urkel wasn't the first black nerd. I think if you look at nobody realizes that Dwayne from It's a Different World, like he is a mathematician, but he was a cool nerd. He was a cool nerd. He was all about science, all about math, and he you know became a teacher, he became a mentor and stuff like that. But he wore his little glasses, you know, it's stereotypical, but he wore his little glasses and he had his thing going on. And Freddie was the opposite nerd. Not opposite of a nerd, but she was another type of nerd where she was just really about, you know, about the natural things and about, you know, clean living and stuff like that. And she was kind of nerdy. But Dwayne was really, I think, the nerd of the show that had a cool thing about him. You know, he had a real cool thing about him. That's where I think nerdism is. Today, I think a lot of people, oh, and if you go way back, you go to What's Happening, Roger from What's Happening, he was definitely a nerd. He's probably the first black nerd on TV, I would say. He was definitely a nerd. He had his little, you know, smarts about him, his little passions about him and stuff like that. So I thought that he was one of the original nerds. But yeah, you if you look at today, I feel like you look at a lot of people that get into fandom and they're not your Urkels or anything like that. They're just some cool brothers and sisters on the side that really enjoy fandom. You know, you got a lot of people that go to Comic Cons. I told you guys maybe a couple episodes ago about the Black Comic Book Festival. A lot of the nerds, quote unquote, a lot of the blurreds that show up at Black Comic Book Festival, they're cool as hell. They you know, you see everybody on the street and you're like, oh, that's a cool brother, that's a cool sister. Not knowing that they're making comics or they're making movies or they're drawing superheroes, they're talking about superheroes. Some of what shout outs to Amalgam Comics in Philly. My girl owns the comic shop, you know, but you see her walking around and she got a little blue hair every now and then. She throws her blue hair around. But she be running around owning the shop and doing her thing and promoting, you know, different comics, independent comics and, you know, mainstream comics, stuff like that. You got a lot of people. I can't name them all. There's so many people, but you got a lot of people that just, they look just like everybody else. And it's a lesson to the rest of the world that black people are not monolith, which a lot of people consider. We're not all the same. We have all different passions, we have all different focuses and backgrounds and stuff like that. We're not all the same. We're not any particular type of stereotype. And I think blurreds, I think black nerds represent represent a perspective that a lot of the world doesn't realize. You know, there, a lot of black people don't realize that there are black nerds out there that really get into their thing. Shout outs to my man, James McJimmy. We were talking about Dungeons and Dragons today, and he got hyped about it. And, you know, we hopefully I get a game going. You know, I haven't played Dungeons and Dragons since I was a kid, and I would love to do it again. So I'm playing around with some Dungeon Master stuff and hopefully get us together. But here you got black nerds that, you know, they play role-playing games and they go to Comic-Cons, they read comics, they look at sci-fi, they love Star Wars, they love Star Trek. You got a lot of black nerds that people don't realize, like even black people don't realize that other black people are nerds. Like we don't, what's sad is we don't even recognize ourselves, which again, a black nerd or a nerd in general today doesn't look like what you would think of, you know, Revenge of the Nerds or something like that. You can't pick people out because nerds today just, you know, they're normal people. Everybody's normal except everybody gets into their passions. And we don't even realize that each other's nerds until we start talking about something. They, oh, you know about that too. You know about that fandom too. And that's why I talk. Whenever I go somewhere, I usually drop a little hint that, you know, I like sci-fi or something like that. I get into sci-fi. And I think that a lot of black people aren't afraid to talk about their fandoms and their passions anymore. It's not embarrassing and whatnot. And yeah, let's admit, just being a nerd, sometimes you have to keep it in the past, you know, growing up in high school or growing up in, you know, whatever community or whatever. Sometimes you want to keep it low key that you like different fandoms, that you like astronomy or that you like comics or something like that. Now, one brother I remember, he said he was about my age and he said he doesn't remember anybody not reading comics at some point, especially in the black community. He doesn't remember anybody not reading comics. There's a lot of sisters that either collected comics for themselves, or I hear a lot when the sisters talk about their older brothers were collecting comics, or maybe their dad or their mom or their aunts, you know, maybe an aunt. I got my daughter-in-law talks about her aunt that put her on to anime a long time ago, you know, and she loves like Howl's Moving Castle and stuff like that. You know, black people got into anime, black people got into all kinds of stuff, and it wasn't they could have been in an urban environment, a suburban environment, you know, rich or poor. You got into some nerdy stuff, you know, and maybe you put it, like I said, maybe you put it, you know, on low key back in the day. But a lot of nerds today, I feel, are just opening up. They're enjoying their fandoms, which is what I love. They're enjoying their fandoms. They're enjoying their culture and they're combining it. The black history, you know, that's why you had the Boondocks. That's why you have whatchamacallit, LaShawn Thomas doing the Boondocks. And, you know, and just showing like both sides of it, mixing in that nerd anime, you know, that anime and that black image together. So you got a lot of nerds, you got a lot of black nerds, blurreds, enjoying their fandom, but also enjoying their culture. Because let's admit, back in the day, you know, sometimes you would be considered, if you talked a certain way or got into a certain thing, you'd be considered talking about, you're not black, you know. But that was a mistake on everybody's part. Black is not defined by anything in particular. You know, you're black because you're black. You're black because you enjoy the culture, because you have heritage in black history. You have heritage in African, you know, you have African heritage about you, maybe physically, definitely culturally, you know, that's what has you being black. And black nerd, you know, just because you're a nerd doesn't mean that you're leaving your blackness behind. So, yeah, 28 Days of Black Cosplay, that's a thing. Original Black Nerds, that's the thing. Let me get into this list of Marvel DC. That 30 minutes passed by quick with me ranting and stuff. rants always pass by quick. I would consider, you guys tell me, I would love some feedback, but I think Black Panther right now is probably most popular black hero there is. Right now. I think right now Black Panther is probably the biggest recognizable black hero there is. You got Black Panther that, I don't know, he's been around for a long time. Like I said, he kind of started a little stereotype, but they grew his image. They grew Wakanda's image. And, you know, now it's one of the biggest, most successful films ever. And his character itself is just cool. You talk about Black Nerd, Black Panther is as smart or smarter than Tony Stark. And he's a superhero. He has a suit. He has technology. He really is a black, black genius and a black nerd in itself. Shuri is even more of a nerd. Shuri is a super geek. She is a super geek, and she shows that in the comics. She definitely showed it in the movies and stuff. And you also have the Dora Milaje and. The one that Danny Guerrero that played in, she's the head of Dora Milaje. All them are black heroes. All them are recognizable. I think the movie has made everybody recognizable to a point where I mentioned in an earlier episode after the showing of Black Panther, I saw this kid, this white father, his white son, you know, son was maybe 5 years old, and he had a Black Panther figure in his hand, you know, Black Panther action figure in his hand. And obviously he just bought it from seeing the movie and stuff. And that's a popularity. That's everybody saw that movie. Everybody enjoyed it and stuff. We enjoyed it. Me and my group enjoyed it. So I think Black Panther is one of the most recognizable black heroes ever in the world. What's the other probably most recognizable black hero in the world is Storm. Storm is one of the top five, I would say, recognizable black heroes in the world. You know, she has her African descent. She was considered an African goddess at one point. She's been in comics. She's been in X-Men forever. Halle Berry played her. I kind of wish that... Angela Bassett had played her. Maybe she was a little bit older than what Storm was in the comic, but I think back in the day she would have been perfect. I think Angela Bassett would have been perfect. But you had Storm playing, you had the young lady playing in the new ones, you know, the new X-Men, stuff like that. So Storm's very recognizable. I think the other recognizable black hero is Jon Stewart's Green Lantern. Jon Stewart Green Lantern. Everybody knows it because everybody was watching the animated series. That was great. Jon Stewart, I was glad that they used Jon Stewart so much. And he's just a respectable brother. He's a respectable brother that was in the comics from way back. Super recognizable. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to see him in the new Green Lantern movie. I think they'd rather see Jon Stewart than whatchamacallit, but I don't know. I would say he's one of the top five. The two others that I say is probably the some of the most recognizable black characters is Static Shock. Everybody knows Static Shock. Everybody in the nerd community knows and loves Static Shock. He's on the same level as Spider-Man as far as, you know, somebody that you could love, somebody that you feel for, somebody that you want to win. He's a young brother in high school. He's got these powers. And, you know, he's from Milestone Comics and stuff, which shout outs to them for getting back on the game and whatnot and really developing their thing. Hopefully we'll get a Static Shock movie or, you know, maybe a TV show on CW, something like that. There's some rumors about that or whatever, so... shout outs to Milestone getting back in the game like that and having some new life in it. But Static Shock, I would say, and Miles Morales Spider-Man, yo, that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse really pushed Miles Morales' character into the next level. And I think a lot of people, really click with Miles, especially after that movie. I think they click with Miles and they really want to see him more. And thing, and everybody's waiting for Miles Morales. That's why everybody shouted in Spider-Man when Jamie Foxx was talking, when Electro was talking about, man, what did he say? You come from Queens and blah, blah, blah. I thought you'd be black. And he, and Garfield Spider-Man was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He said, nah, I know there's a black Spider-Man somewhere with all this stuff. And that's what they did. They threw that in. Everybody was hoping that Miles Morales would show up at some point. So I'm only waiting for who they cast at some point to do Miles Morales. But Miles Morales, Spider-Man, definitely a favorite. I would say one of the top five. One of the top most recognizable characters. Also, I think because of Avengers, what Marvel has done and stuff like that, I feel like Falcon is also a very big recognizable black character, especially after the series that they did, Falcon and Winter Soldier, where Falcon, not to spoil it, but sorry, spoilers, cover yours for a few seconds, Falcon becoming Captain America, as he did in the comics, I think is a big move to push a black character into the forefront. And that series tackled, like, you know, what it means to be a black superhero. What it means to be a black superhero, especially in a nation that could, you know, at certain times in history could hate you or look at you not as a hero, but as a criminal or something like that. I think Falcon, his image, I think, has pushed black heroes into, you know, into the conversation again, just like Black Panther and everything else. I think Falcon turned it into, you know, into a good conversation with race and stuff like that. Blade. Let's talk about Blade. Probably the first Marvel movie that really set the tone for like the new generation of Marvel films, of Marvel comic-based films. Blade came before the X-Men and stuff, and it really did set the tone. Nobody thinks about Blade being a comic character. And I mentioned it before, out of all the comic characters that they did, it was an odd thing for Marvel. And I forgot his name, Ari, who was kind of head of Marvel Entertainment, for him to kind of envision that Blade was going to be the character to make a Marvel movie about after, you know, after some of the older ones, after Punisher and stuff like that, just come out with Blade and do it so well, and Wesley Snipes playing it so well. But in the comics, he's not a popular character, but now everybody loves Blade, and Mahershala Ali playing Blade, I can't wait. I'm excited for that. Now everybody wants to see Blade. Back in the day, everybody's like, who's Blade? But then the movie kicked them into the forefront, kicked them into the spotlight, and now everybody wants to see Blade. Black Lightning in the comics, Black Lightning on CW. Now everybody knows Black Lightning. They're really into him and stuff like that. I'm excited for anything Black Lightning does. War Machine. Excuse me, War Machine, Rhodey from the Marvel Comics, War Machine, definitely in forefront. I can't wait till they do, I can't wait till they do the, what do you call it, the series. I think they're doing Armor Wars or something like that. I think it's either a series or a movie, I forget. You guys remind me, you guys are on top of that stuff. War Machine is very popular as far as black hero. I don't think people, when they think about black heroes, I don't think he comes to the forefront immediately, but he's definitely up there with the black heroes. Batwing, Batman's, I don't know what you would call Batwing, like a partner in another country, associate in another country that he helps out, and, you know, Batwing's just a, he's a fighter, you know, he's a fighter like Batman, and Batman you know, I believe supplies them. I would have to do more research, but I believe it's he supplies them and whatnot with, you know, all the technology and stuff like that for him to fight crime in another continent and stuff, so another city. So Batwing's pretty cool. Bishop's always been one of my favorite from the X-Men. From the future of the X-Men. From the future of the X-Men, he's always been my favorite and stuff. Luke Cage, Power Man, man. Now he, yo, I always loved Luke Cage, even though he was sort of stereotype, you know, just a sweet Christmas and all that. He's sort of stereotype from back in the day, but I always loved Luke Cage. I always loved how they kind of changed him up and, you know, gave him a family in the comics and stuff like that. And always did something with him. Luke Cage has always been a stand-up individual, but never forgetting his roots and stuff like that. So I always enjoyed Luke Cage and whatnot. And truthfully, the Marvel Netflix series Luke Cage, that was really good. And they also introduced Misty Knight, who was great on the show. They introduced Misty Knight. They introduced a lot of black characters in Luke Cage, of course. That was pretty good. Captain Marvel, not Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. Captain Marvel, aka Pulsar, aka Photon. She was really a cool character back in the day when the Avengers were not first started. When I was collecting the Avengers comics, I think they were in like the the 180s, 190s, something like that. Somewhere around there, the 180s, 190s. Yeah, they introduced Captain Marvel, and she is just a cool character. Her whole body would turn into light. She would do different things. She had powers over the spectrum and stuff like that. Always enjoyed Captain Marvel as a character and whatnot. So, not immediately the black character that you would see in forefront when somebody mentions black superheroes, but she was definitely cool. I like the fact that they introduced her in WandaVision. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird the way they introduce her, but hey, you know, she's on the scene now. We knew she was coming. I was excited from the Captain Marvel movie, where they introduce her as a child and then they introduce her as an adult and stuff like that. You also got Cyborg. You got Cyborg, who is also, I would say, one of the most popular characters among, you know, the generation that watched Teen Titans when they were growing up. They watched Teen Titans on TV and stuff like that. Cyborg, definitely a cool black character. Steel from back in the day, I don't know. Steel, I don't know if people still remember Steel. I haven't been keeping up to comics lately, so I'm not sure if Steel is a big thing anymore, but Steel is, you know, he's definitely on the list of black characters. Ironheart, on the other hand, we're going to see Ironheart in, I guess, various medium. We might see her in her own show. We might see her introduced in the Marvel Universe, the Young Avengers, and stuff like that. I'm excited to see Ironheart. Oh, you know what? I forgot Moon Girl and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Yeah, another black character is really on the spot. Nobody, you know, might not be the first black character, first superhero that you think about when you mention black superheroes, but Moon Girl, Devil Dinosaur, really cool. But Ironheart, I'm waiting for Ironheart. You got, you know, this genius black girl, MIT, building her own armor, doing her thing. I can't wait till we see, like, what's happening with her and stuff like that. Also, those are Marvel DC black superheroes, but we also got one of the most famous black heroes that you don't think about being black until you do, is Spawn from Image Comics. Spawn's, like, one of the more famous black superheroes from the comic genre, from the comic world, definitely among the nerds and geeks around that that just know black superheroes. Spawn is definitely one of the most popular heroes in the fandom and whatnot. So yeah, there's a lot. I definitely haven't named nearly all the black superheroes and whatnot. And there's a few black villains too, which don't come to mind at this second, but there's a good number of black villains too. So the comics There's plenty, but also, like I said before, you don't want to see him disappear. You want to see him created more. I want to get into telling you guys about the some of the Black independent comics that are out there. So I'm going to try next week to go down a list of a lot of Black independent comics and comic creators and stuff like that. And see if you guys would recognize them. Maybe I'll put you on to some new ones and stuff like that. But Spawn was definitely... Image Comics have few Black characters and whatnot, but Spawn, I would say, is probably the most famous. Also, outside of comics, I got a couple Black heroes and whatnot. Meteor Man was a Black superhero. Robert Townsend movie. Robert Townsend played Meteor Man, where, you know, this green meteorite rock gave him some superpowers and whatnot. So Meteor Man was an interesting new Black superhero and whatnot that was on the scene. Also, Blank Man was Damon Wayans was playing Blank Man, and I think it was a politically correct version of when he was doing Handyman in Living Color, and he was supposed to be a superhero that was handicapped. Blank Man seemed to be like the guy that wanted to be a superhero, and he was just trying to find his way through the little things that he had to be a superhero and stuff. I don't even know if he had powers or not. I would have to see that movie again, but Blank Man and Meteor Man, those are two movies that didn't have anything to do with the comics at the moment. Oh, and how can I forget Will Smith's Hancock? Hancock was probably one of the best non-comic, definitely Black superhero, one of the best superhero movies that there were, where it just kind of showed a guy that didn't really want to be a hero, but he knew he probably had to save some people, stop people from dying, so he did what he did. Didn't give a damn about, you know, what he destroyed as far as property and stuff like that. Everybody's ragging on him and stuff, but Hancock was that superhero that wasn't from the comics, but was still an interesting superhero. So there you go. You got Blank Man. You got all these different, you know, different superheroes. We also have a couple supervillains that were just a couple that came to mind. If you guys remember Demolition Man, you had Wesley Snipes playing Simon Phoenix. He was definitely an interesting, you know, sort of like supervillain type of thing from back in the day. You know, he was frozen along with Sylvester Stallone's character. They were frozen and they came out of it. You know, one was a hero, one was a villain and stuff. Hobbs and Shaw is Idris Elba. He played Brixton Lore. He was like, he said it himself, he's like Black Superman. He had nanobite technology that gave him powers and stuff like that. So there you go. You got your list of Black superheroes and whatnot. Like I said, there's a lot of them. There's a ton of Black superheroes. So you can look and tell me some more that were your favorite and stuff like that. But I really love most of those Black superheroes. I really love the top ones. I really love. Scream the movie, 2022 movie, had some of your favorites, still had some original people. It wasn't bad. I kind of liked it. I realized Scream is pretty much like, I think Wes Craven might have watched Clue and thought, well, maybe I could make a horror movie based on Clue. You know, maybe I can make a slasher film based on Clue or something. Because it's kind of like Clue, where you know that the murderer is in the vicinity, in the sphere of friends or acquaintances or whatever, but you don't know who it is, so you're trying to figure it out. So I feel like Scream is a little bit like Clue, but it had Neve Campbell in it and Courtney Cox and David Arquette came for a return. Not to spoil it, but, you know, they show up. And Melissa Barrera, she played, I guess, the protagonist. She played the sister. Her and Jenna Ortega played two sisters, and Melissa's character, she had to protect Jen's character, and you know, you had to figure out who was the villain. You had to figure out who was the killer and whatnot. So it did play to the original one, and I remember enjoying the original one. I think I saw the second one. I didn't see the ones after that. Wasn't, like I said, wasn't big on some of the Scream movies that came out, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this one. It wasn't bad. There were some mixed reviews, but I think it was okay as far as the Scream franchise. I think it was pretty enjoyable. I think you guys, if you guys didn't watch it already, I think you guys may enjoy it. If you really enjoyed the first one, I think that you may enjoy this one. I finally watched Archive 81. That was really good. The brother that plays in it, he plays a good job, but it had such a great twist. I didn't even see it coming. Sometimes Geek's old brother be watching stuff, I'd be so tired. But Archive 81, they did a little bit of twist with the supernatural. It was a little bit of horror, but it was definitely a mystery, which turned out to be really interesting. It ended on a cliffhanger, so if you guys don't like cliffhangers, I don't know what to tell you, but hopefully they come out with season two. I just enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. What else? What else was playing? That was it. That was about it. We got Raising Dion season two. I started it. Looks pretty interesting. Doesn't look like the kid grew at all. Like, it doesn't look like he aged at all. It's been a year or two. It's definitely been 2 years in the show. And I don't know, it just doesn't look like he aged that much, but whatever, it's fine. It looks like it's pretty good. I can't wait till some other stuff. I still got to catch up to Peacemaker and stuff like that. And we got some other superhero stuff coming out. Boba Fett was good. The last two episodes was really about Mandalorian, which is fine. You know, anything they need to bring the shows together, that's fine. And they really set up for the Ahsoka series, so we'll see about that. I can't wait to see Rosario Dawson really sink her teeth into the role of being Ahsoka. But yeah, that was good. Boba Fett wasn't too bad. Mandalorian made it pretty interesting and stuff like that. Yeah, again, Black History Month. I just want you guys to be mindful of, you know, things like police brutality. And another brother, he got shot this past week, Amir Locke. You know, he in a state where having a gun, I guess, is legal. You know, he had a gun, but unfortunately, they ran into the wrong place. This guy didn't have anything to do. Cops didn't had a no-knock search warrant. Didn't have anything to do. Locke didn't have anything to do with the warrant or anything like that, but they saw the gun, they immediately shot him and stuff. And I think it would have been different if they didn't have a bunch of cops rushing into some place, guns blazing or whatever happened. And then, you know, it's understandable that they see a gun, but they're in the wrong place, you know, and they didn't give anybody a chance to disarm or anything like that. So, you know, I don't know. It's just that when it comes to Black people, it's, you know, people are trigger happy, so trigger happy. Over the years, we've just seen, you know, so many people shot and killed by cops that didn't have any weapons at all. You know, so it's kind of sad with that. But we're gonna keep marching. We're gonna keep moving on and stuff like that. We're going to keep doing our thing. And one of our things is just being nerds. You know, you brothers and sisters out here, and all of you in general, Black, white, you know, Hispanic, Asian, whatever you are, wherever background you are, you just keep being your nerds. You keep loving the fandoms. You keep enjoying what you enjoy. And don't let anybody tell you different. Don't let anybody try to shame you for loving what you love. And look, support each other about it. You know, even if you don't have the same fandoms, support each other about it. Don't give nobody shade that doesn't need shade. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. It's just me kind of ranting and talking, but I hope I put you guys on to some Black superheroes, stuff like that. And you know, to look at a few things, check a few things out, go back and see some stuff. I'm telling you, go back and see Blade, man. Go back and watch Blade. It's a little dated, but that was a cool movie. You know, the ending was pretty good. The CG was a little, you know, at the time, CG wasn't, you know, what it is now. But go back and see it, man. It's a good show. It's a good movie. Anyway, music by James McJimmy. Thank you, sir. And AKA Walker Brothers Crafts. And check me out on Spotify. Just look up Geek's Old Brother and look up Your Fandom Fix. Also, you can see me, or hear me rather. You can hear me on Indie Live Music Radio, digital radio station on TuneIn.com. It's part of the UrbanSocialitesNJ.com network. And check them out, UrbanSocialitesNJ.com. Check them out for some positive stuff. I love Ayasha. She puts out a lot of spiritually positive, a lot of health related stuff and whatnot. And I just want to see that media company grow. Also, check me out on Patreon, patreon.com/geeksoulbrother. Just check me out there. You want to drop a little bit of money there, a little, you know, dollar a month. Shoot, if you drop a dollar a month, I appreciate it. I just let it go towards the podcast, get some equipment, stuff like that. I need to start an Amazon wish list. For you guys that want to be generous, I'll start an Amazon wish list for some equipment and stuff like that. Just to say, Your Fandom Fix is owned by Geek Soul Brother Brand, all rights reserved. So, you know, but if you want to pass on the show, tell somebody about the show. Definitely do that. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all you listeners. Favorite the show on Spotify so you can get notified of new episodes and stuff like that. And tune in next week. We'll talk about some stuff. Till then, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening. Peace.